Rabiso, welcome back after the Yom Tovim. We are in still at the end of Vayechulu now. And we're talking about Shemayim Va'aretz, if you remember. Well, maybe it's a month ago, so maybe you don't. I'll let you off for that. And we said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens and the earth. Amen. And we're at Vayechulu HaShemayim Va'aretz, and we're just finishing off that concept. And hopefully, I'd like to get through as much of Vayechulu as I can, because I've prepared the next bit as well. Let's see what we can do. Okay. So there is a Medrash Bereishis Rabba in Yud Aleph Beis that says that the light of a Jew's countenance is increased on Shabbos. You hear quite a few Hasidish stories about Rebbes that usually, literally, they change their physical appearance over the course of the Sabbath. You could tell that there was something going on. It was Shabbos. They'd literally... There was a famous, there's a famous machlekes in the Gemara of if you're trapped on a desert island and you don't know what day it is, what should you do about Shabbos? Oh, so that's a two-way machlekes. Either is the first day you arrive, that's Shabbos, and then you know where you are. Or whatever day it is, count 7 days, and that's Shabbos. You don't know what to do. Remember, whenever you're in a predicament where you cannot keep a mitzvah, you do your best to keep the mitzvah. We learn that from Hashem guiding us with what during the night in the Midbar? During the day in the Midbar, how did he guide us? What was there to lead us? A pillar of cloud. And during the night, what did he lead us with? A pillar of fire. Huge pillar of fire. No, there's no but. Just a minute. Don't butt me on this. Forget traveling. Forget that. You fell out of a plane. I'm not talking about. Don't worry about that. So during the Midbar, the Yidden had a pillar of fire at night. Says Rabbi Moshe Feinstein on the Haggadah, on Shir Malos of the Haggadah. If you're interested, it's on the benching. He says, what an interesting thing. Because if you look in the entire Torah, not once did Klal Yisrael journey at night. Now, he knew that. He's read the script. God is fully aware of where it's going to lead you. So why did he bother to make a pillar of fire if he isn't going to use it? Answer is, you get as close to everything. You prepare for every eventuality. Had he have wanted to have led us through the night because of a Bechira decision we would have made, all things were made and ready as a contingency should he have desired to do that. The pillar of fire was there. As it was, it never got used. It says, Rav Moshe Feinstein, if you find yourself in a desert over Sukkos and you cannot wave Arba Minim, take 4 similar species as close to the 4 that you need to do. Wave them, obviously, without a brocha. And after 120, when Hashem says, huh, what happened on Sukkos? I did my best. I didn't have the ability to get palms, myrtles, willows, and citron. But I did find similar species or a palm, which was a non-kosher palm. And I used it. I didn't make a brocha. And I waved what I could because I want to do the most of a mitzvah. You always try to do the mitzvah as much as you can. So now we've got the situation. Whatever happens, you've lost track of time. You've ended up in a desert island. When do I keep Shabbos? Answer is either start keeping Shabbos immediately or count a week. So they ask the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, the Besht, the originator of the Hasidic movement. How does the Rav hold? What would you have done? Would you have counted 7 days and then kept Shabbos? Or would you have kept the first day and then counted the rest of the week? He said, I don't know what your problem is. Can't you hear all the malachim getting ready for Shabbos? How could you not know when it was Shabbos? You'd hear all the tumult in Shemayim. Like, oh, okay. if you're holding by the level where you can hear heaven, preparing for Shabbos, then I guess this Shiloh isn't really open to you. But if for the rest of us that don't actually see the malachim flying about with challahs and stuff, then I guess that becomes a thing. Okay, so we do hear these stories of people as they go through Shabbos. They literally changed. You could see them, the countenance increasing on Shabbos. And it gets to the best at Shalosh Shudos. That's when it really peaks. That's the peaks, and then it goes. So the spiritual... Now, where do they get this light? What is this light that we talk about? The Medrash Rabba, Yud Aleph, Beis, says you get this light. This light was the special spiritual light, the Or HaGanuz, that Hashem created at the beginning, and he didn't want the Rishonim to benefit from it, so he hid it away. But you can access this light through Shabbos, and it is revealed, if you know how to get it, if you keep Shabbos, you can be bestowed upon this light, which is this kind of closeness to Hashem, a certain feeling of closeness to Hashem, which can really only be gained through Shabbos. Try talking to someone who has never kept a Shabbos about the best Shabbos you've ever had, what's good about it. It's very difficult to put into words what a good Shabbos is to someone who's never kept ever one Shabbos ever. It's difficult to put into words. Now, this light was hidden in the Torah, says the Medrash, and therefore the ability to learn and understand the Torah is increased and enhanced on Shabbos. The Medrash even says in Yud Aleph Dalet that the blessing of Shabbos is also manifest in the food we eat. There's a famous story of Antoninus and Rebbe, and he gave him some food, and he liked it very, very much, and he said, can I come back and have some more of that food? So he came back to his house, and he ate the food, and it didn't taste as good. He said, oh, it's not fair. I remember when you gave me some food last time, it tasted amazing. He goes, ah, that food was created to cover Shabbos Kodesh. This food was created for Tuesday. Doesn't taste the same. And as Uncle Moshe in the Mitzvah Men released a song to say, the secret of the taste is in the Shabbos itself. It's true, the cholent and everything, if you make something, the Kovach Shabbos Kodesh has a different taste, that a Gentile chef cannot copy, even if they follow the exact same recipe that you're doing. But if you're doing it, the Kovach Shabbos Kodesh, it is imbued with the concept, even the most physical things can be imbued with Ruchnius. I just got asked in the shiur previous to this one, why was it that Shame, the son of Noach, who ran a yeshiva that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all attended. Could you imagine the brochure at the gala evening for that fundraiser? And now it's time to look at our esteemed alumni. Abraham. Could you imagine? Everyone's like, wow, getting out their checkbooks. They're like, this is awesome. This is the best yeshiva ever. Shame and Abraham, you should have for the Avos. Could you imagine how Kaddish these Rabbonim were? They weren't Jewish. Why didn't Hashem pick Shame, who was Malchit Tzedek, like a Kohen Godel, blessed Avram Avinu after the Canaanite kings were defeated? How can you say they're not Jewish? They're Chassidei Umas Olam, but they're not Jewish. What's going on? You've got to hear this. This is great. This is great. Shame was on the boat with all the animals, and he saw Noach was a big tzaddik. Even people that berate Noach and say he wasn't such a great tzaddik, nobody can say that after he got off the boat. After a year of full Mesiris Nefesh, of looking after animals and doing nothing but self-sacrifice for a whole year, when he got off the boat, he was a tzaddik according to any standard, even Avraham Avinu standards. Yes, you could maybe have criticized him prior, but not afterwards. When he came off that boat, he was a tzaddik. One of the first things he did when he got off the boat was he planted a vineyard. And from those grapes he made wine and he got drunk. And while he was intoxicated, Cham did the most despicable act to make sure that Noach could have no further children in order that his own inheritance should not be diminished. He wants the money. More kids you got, we have to split it more ways. So he did what he did. Noach, in his unimaginable distress, was seen by Shem and Yofes, and they carefully walked backwards, carrying a blanket between them so they should not look upon their father in such a distress, and covered him. This deeply affected Shem. Deeply, deeply affected him. He's a man of great spirituality. And what did he do? He went into a tent and he taught Torah.
He did what?
Went into a tent. I held Shem Va'eva. And he went into an enclave. And he went to teach Torah, much like Chanoch before him. Adam Rishon's grandson, he also talked to her, but again, he lived in a cave and he was separate from society. Avram Avinu found a Kodesh Baruch Hu by giving people food. He opened a hotel. Anyone can come in, have what you want, but you've got a bench. Or he'll charge them. That's what he did, says the Medrash. So I gave you beautiful food in the middle of the desert, ice cold ice cream, lovely. At the end of it, I gave you a bill for 450 quid. And you're like, what was it for? You try finding ice cream in the desert. That's 450 quid, or you could bench. People are like, okay, well, what do I have to do to bench? Oh, you have to make a bracha, brain of fashas, whatever it is. Okay, but fashas. So that's how we talk people about Kodesh Baruch Hu. Blessed are you, Hashem, creator of the universe. You go. So, where does it? Okay, fine. So that once they started talking about it, he makarved them, and that's how he built the yeshiva. It was from the food. Gave people food. The Melochim turned up. They were Arabs. He made pickled tongues in mustard. Delicacies. The most choice bits of the animal in a beautiful sauce.
Mark's following suit.
Are you making... Have you got pickled tongues in mustard? It's no mustard, is there?
And I learned yesterday that the Ketamazon was only short then, I suppose, at that time. It was only the first section.
There was no Bichos Mazon as we knew it. They just said whatever they wanted to say. Bichos Mazon was actually written by Moshe Rabbeinu. The second one, the second brocha, was written by Yehoshua. Then David and Shlomo, and then the Rabbonim. So in the old days, they would say whatever their heart wanted to fulfill Bichos Mazon. There was no set text. Anyway, we digress. The point was, is that Avraham Avinu decided to find a Kodesh Baruch Hu through physicality. While Shem only found a Kodesh Baruch Hu through Prisha, through being separated from physicality. He felt as if physicality, after seeing what happened to Noah with the wine, was incompatible with spirituality. Abraham fused the two, saying there is no spirituality without a good bowl of cholent. Notice we have beautiful foods to sanctify the Shabbos. And indeed the Medrash Rabbah on 11:4 says one of the places to find this light of the Shabbos is in food prepared specifically to honour it. It's a big thing to be around a Jewish table that's keeping Shabbos to eat that food.
That's why when we cook, we say lechavod.
Lechavod Shabbat Kodesh, right? Why? One of the ideas, people think that when you eat kosher food with a hechsher, what you're doing is avoiding treif. That's only 50%. That's not true. What you're really doing is getting all the special brocha that's associated with eating kosher food. If you're eating meat, which was shechted, there was a brocha that was made over the shechita, you're imbuing the kedusha of that brocha. Eating kosher food comes with a special brocha which cannot be measured by a nutritionist. There's a special brocha with eating kosher food, especially on Shabbos, look over Shabbos Kodesh. The Yerushalmi, in Gemara Brochus 19b, says that the brocha of Shabbos obviates mourning. You can't sit in as an ovel on Shabbos, and that's because of a pasuk in Mishlei 10:22, which says the blessing of Hashem will enrich, and no sorrow can be with it. Once a Kodesh Baruch Hu brings in Shabbos, you can't mourn at the same time. In fact, as I think I may have said before, but did you know that even the fires of Gehenna are turned off on Shabbos for those that kept Shabbos? If you were careful about Shabbos, not to light fires, then even if a guy's sentenced to, I don't know, 4 years or whatever to be barbecued or whatever it's going to be, not on Shabbos, they turn it off. That's why one of the reasons we light a Havdalah candle. One of the mystical reasons of lighting a Havdalah candle is to show that they're rekindling the flames of Gehenna at that particular time, which is why certain Hasidic Rebbes try to delay Havdalah as long as possible, having a big long tish, and at 3 o'clock in the morning they finally make Havdalah. Anyone that's a member of that Hasidus, which is attached to that Rebbe and that tish, they can say, excuse me, my Rebbe's making tish, it's still Shabbos. Get time off in Gehenna.
It's on Tuesday.
But he brings it. He's got a whole different clock system. And he's having mincha at 3 o'clock in the morning. He's like, he's got a whole different system there.
Is the reason that he's holding it off? Yeah, to
delay.
Yeah, to delay. But so is this for the benefit of those people in Gehenna?
Absolutely.
They're associated with him.
Excuse me, my Rebbe's keeping Shabbos. It's Shabbos, 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 Shabbos. You can't turn down the fires. It's Shabbos for me. If I was back at Tish, I'd still be singing. Come on. Now, let's continue. The Pesukim of Vayechulu mention by Yom HaShvi'i, the seventh day, how many times?
Seven, two, three.
Three times is B'yom HaShvi'i mentioned in Vayechulu. What's going on? Says Chazal, This hints at the three special Shabbosos that exist. One was the Shabbos of creation, where Kodesh Baruch Hu did Shavos V'Nefash, which is like the original Shabbos. The other was the Shabbos of the giving of the Torah. And the last one is the Shabbos of Olam Haba. Rabbeinu Ephraim relates an interesting idea hinted to at the final letters, the word, where it says, B'shvi v'kadei shosai, the final words spell out Yeshu, which is the founder of Christianity, who changed Shabbos to Sunday. With these words, the Torah is hinting that the seventh day is sanctified and not day one. It's not Sunday, which is day one. It's the seventh day. I gave you a whole thing at the beginning of the concept of Shabbos. We talked about why it's correct for Gentiles. Oh, maybe I didn't. I've got a whole thing as to why Shabbos should be on Saturday. Why it's correct that Christians should have it on Sunday. And why it's correct that the Muslims should have it on Friday. That's because the first day is a Kodesh Baruch Hu did something and then he walked off. It's right that Christians hold that Shabbos. It's right to say that he built it up into all the physicality and then didn't infuse it with spirituality. That's the concept of Islam. It's only Judaism that says you can only find a Kodesh Baruch Hu through physicality. So it's got to be the seventh day for us, which is the ultimate utilization of Shabbos. It's a whole shiur about that. It's called the Covenant of Time, the Bris of Zman. I don't think I've told you about that. But a whole thing about why it's right that Shabbos should be on Saturday. It's kind of a bit of... But this is alluding to the concept that Shabbos is indeed the seventh day, not day one. Okay. Then it says, V'ayichalakim b'yom ha'shavi malachta asher asa. That's interesting. He concluded all of his work, which God had created to do. Now, what's going on here? This seems to repeat what we said before, right? On Shabbos, the Kodesh Baruch Hu finished all of his work. So what's this coming to teach? We've just said, thus the heaven and the earth were finished, and their legion. Full stop. On the seventh day, God completed his work, which he had done. But you've just said that. Thus the heaven and the earth were finished on Shabbos, and everything did about it. On the seventh day, God completed all the work. Why are you repeating it? We already know. You've just said, full stop. You finished it. Why are you saying the same thing in different words? You've told me you finished it. Then you say, you know what? On the seventh day, finished it. I know you've already said to me, why do you need to tell me? You're repeating that. The heaven and the earth were finished. On the seventh day, God finished it. Come on, this is waste of words. We never waste words, right? There's got to be a message in it. Why is God doubling? He's really stumped. He's doubling up because you double underline the concept. Okay, that's a basic way of understanding. He really finished, by the way. He really finished. That's good enough for us. That's why it is. We just wanted to make it important. Next point. Now there's something about this here. What's going on?
There's something else. Maybe when he completed his work, you're not talking about only the heaven and earth. Maybe there's something else after heaven and earth that's being completed.
Well, you want to say v'chulu hashemayim v'ha'aretz. That's matter and energy. We said Shemayim and Aretz is also energy, and Shemayim being energy, Haaretz being matter. For Cholzavam, we're done. He had finished creating all elements of the physical universe, all the dimensions. V'achal Elokim, and then what did God do? But Yom HaShvi'i, on the seventh day, what did God do? Malach Asher Asa, that which Asher Asa, he is doing. V'yashavas B'Yom HaShvi'i, and then he rescinded on the seventh day. Mikol Malach Asher Asa.
So what did he done?
Right, but he's talking in the present tense. About Lemaisa, there's a lot to say over these words. There's a lot to say, especially when he goes through Varech Elokim Esem Shaviv V'Kadesh Asoiki V'Shvas Mikom Lachta Asher Asa. Then La'asois, which he created to make. Why did he say the whole thing? V'Varech Elokim Esem Shaviv, right? God blessed the seventh day V'Kadesh Asoiki, and he sanctified it. Kivo Shavas Mikom Lachtai. He abstained from all creative activity, asher bara elokim la'asos, which God created to do. Present tense. What is la'asos? Just take off the word la'asos. Just drop that. Kivo shavas mikol achta asher bara elokim. He finished all the work that God did. La'asos, to do. The whole thing doesn't make sense. Yeah. It's repetition, 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 followed by words that don't make any sense. If you really, really closely... It's very cryptic. In fact, it is not. Is everyone with me on this? It makes sense. This does not make perfect sense here.
Yeah. Picking it on the Hebrew there, Asher Asah, so he's talking in the past.
Right. La'asot, to do in the present. What's going on? Can you see that? It doesn't make... Frankly, we could get by with the first sentence and that would tell us all we need to know. God finished making the heavens and the earth on the seventh day, full stop. Get on straight with the Kelim V'Kevaseinu. Right? Reserving for Seinu. We don't need the rest of it. We've got a lot to talk about. The Medrash Rabbah, what I quoted on 11, Bereishis Rabbah 11, but now point 9, says this phrase, Kol Malachtoi, all of his work, refers to the work that could have been left for Shabbos, but was doubled up on Friday. How many things were created on Friday? Sorry, on Thursday? 3 things. How many things were created on Erev Shabbos? 6 things. How many things were created on Shabbos? Nothing. So he doubled up his work of what he would have done on Saturday by taking on extra work on Friday. So we already see the first Friday in creation was rushed. Erev Shabbos is always busy. When God made Friday, that first Friday, he's at a rush. He's got double his workload. What he could have done is, no, I'm going to have double my workload on Friday and I'll deal it up and do 4 things on every day and save myself the extra... I'll make it easy for me so there's nothing to do on Saturday. So I'll take out the job and then I can really put my feet up, as it were. Do you understand what I'm... Does that make sense? He didn't do that. He did 3, 3, 3, 3, 3, 6, nothing. What's going on? That doesn't sound like good logistical planning. Especially if you know how much you've got to build.
Maybe for him it wasn't an issue.
Of course it's not an issue for him. He's not under any... Yeah. Of course he's not under any stress. But the point is, he's got to be teaching us something. He's got to be teaching us something. It was an uneven workload through the week. What's going on?
So we've got time to study Torah during the week.
Lovely. I haven't seen that. It's beautiful. I mean, you've got time to study.
What was that?
You can sit and learn more because you're going to... Friday's going to be busy, though. Yeah. It's interesting because...
Then you got all Shabbos to do.
The Gra explains on the words Asher Bara. On the words Asher Bara, God rested from all the work he created. That refers to the initial creation, where he created something from nothing. While La'asais, at the end, which is Asher Bara Likim, La'asais, the Asher Bara is creating something out of nowhere. La'asais, what does that come to teach us? To do, active, is actually doing something with the stuff I've already made. There are 2 steps to the creative process, it seems, Alpi Kabbalah and certainly in mystical texts. The first thing God did is make stuff. Matter, energy, time, all that stuff. And it's all there in like a pool. Then what God did was order that stuff into its place subsequently. That's considered a totally separate act of creation. One act is boom, make the stuff. Act number 2 is then to, or you know, it's kind of like, boom, there's 1,000 pieces of Lego in a bag. Then I'm going to make a truck or a plane out of those pieces of Lego, giving each element of the Lego its place, rather than going boom and making an aeroplane. So first I make the raw materials, interesting, the subcomponents, and only then do I order them. Rather than come to the final outcome of what it is I want to do immediately, I'm starting piecemeal. Interesting. When God says, I'll bring the whole world back to Tof Vohu, sometimes I say to the angels, you keep mouth shut, everything goes back to like emptiness and void. That doesn't mean emptiness and void, there's nothing. It means all the bits of the Lego from the plane end up in a bag again. All creation goes back to its primordial state of lacking order. Not that creation itself will whip back ex nihilo into nothing, but all the concepts of planets and moons will turn out into a soup again. I'll put it all back to the beginning, literally like shaking the puzzle back in the box and taking all those 1,000 pieces away. That's what he means. So there's these 2 stages of creation, and that's Asher Bara, ex nihilo, La'asais, to put into order. That's the Gra. Now this echoes the Rambam on Bereishis Beis Gimel, who says that Asher Bara refers to creation on the first day, And then, like Asoy says, every other day where those blocks were formed into various things. Same idea. So the Rambam and the Gros saying the same idea. In fact, the Shlach HaKadosh, Rabbi Yishai Horovitz says, Asher Bara Elokim La'Asoy refers to an ongoing creation. Like Asoy says, active, present, to do, which he's doing every single day. We know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not like Epicurus was a philosopher who said that God like made a machine and then walked off and left it on his mantelpiece or whatever. Anyone that believes in that is called an Epicurus because they are accepting Epicurus's philosophy. See, that Epicurus doesn't mean just heresy. It's a specific kind of heresy. That God has walked off from creation and is not directly involved in it. That's different between a min is a heretic who like Mani, who was a Persian philosopher, that said God exists, but he is at war with other forces, like forces of light and dark fighting each other. Christians would say God and the devil. If you believe there's God and someone else, then a person's called a min. That's a certain kind of heresy where there is God, but there's another equal opposing force. That person's called a min because he's like Mani. If a person's an Epicurus, he believes that God created the world, but then walked off and leaves it to its own devices. We don't believe that. We have a tradition that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is directly recreating every atomic spin right now. He's involved. Therefore, what he says with the word La'asois is he's doing it presently. He hasn't walked off from his creation. He's energizing it at this moment. So he is doing Asher Bara, which originally created La'asois, to do now. He's
your
doing...
explanation that he's keeping the atoms spinning, which we know that the table... it's only made up of spinning atoms.
That's correct.
That's what makes it solid.
Yeah.
So if he stops the spinning, then
everything would fall through.
That's right.
That's right. That's right.
On Shabbos, he's not doing it.
No, he is. He's keeping it going. He creates nothing new. Malacha is externally creative activity, not the maintenance of that which is already there.
Right.
Important point, what you're saying. That's an important point.
Is it that it's an allowed action that he's doing that is not classed as creation? Or has he, if you like, set a timer? Is it running on idle? So he sets the atoms spinning like we would on a hot plate. Or is he literally
doing
it?
It's the former. He's got to be the former because he can't be separated. Right. If you want to say it's like set up a hot plate on a time switch and then he'll come back to Shabbos and keep it going, he can't do that because he can't be removed from creation, because if he was, there wouldn't be anything. So he's directly involved, but he isn't bringing in a completely new concept because it's Shabbos.
It's, just
it's the first, so it's not the second.
For him, it's a permitted action.
That's correct. Yeah. Just like we've got permitted actions.
Yeah.
But there's also forbidden actions, which is to create something brand new that we refrain from, which he also refrained from on that time. So excellent. Does everyone hear that point that he's asking?
Yeah, I wondered about
that's an important point.
Yeah.
So it's the former, not the latter, to answer your question.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and that's the Rambam and the Gro behind that. And the Shlach, that's it, and that's the Shlach. The Shlach also, the Rambam on Hilchos Yesod HaTorah, Aleph Beis, literally 1-2, says that Hashem did not create the world by having it exist with an exerence separate from him, but rather he and the world are bound together, that every second the Kodesh Baruch Hu has to keep it remaining in existence. He can't leave it. That's Rambam Yesod HaTorah. Chapter 1.2, mamish black and white on the Rambam, on foundations of Torah. He can't be separate from it. Because the second you separate yourself from God, you separate yourself from existence. There is nothing outside of him. Okay. Lechem Rav says that La'asois refers to the ongoing divine providence that guides and directs events in the universe. Same pretty much as the Rambam. While the Rekayach says it's the idea of completion and perfection. That the things that are being used for some good purpose. That they're functioning the way that God originally intended them to function. There's justification for going through this whole creational process. To make it work, as it were. To get what I want out of Bria. Interesting idea. Oh, I got it. Rav Hertz Schatz on Bereshis 2:3 points out the final letters of the words Bara Elokim La'asois spells what? Bara Elokim La'asois. Last three words of Archelu. Emes, truth. Where else do you see that? On the words Bara Elokim Es, Bereshis Bara Elokim Es, Hashemayim Ve'Esaretz, Bara Elokim Es is also Emes. So this Archelu is linking back to Bereshis Aleph Aleph. Bereshis Bara Elohim Es is Bara Elohim Es is also Emes. Hashem's plan at the beginning of creation, Aleph Aleph, Genesis 1:1, as well as its conclusion and goal in the Shabbos, which is the end of day 7, is connected. What he's doing on day 1 is Emes, Bara Elohim Es, and what he's doing on day 7, Bara Elohim La'asais, is also Emes. He's pre-connecting the content of Bereshis with the content of Shabbos. Which means he's only going into it with purpose. This is the hallmark of Jewish belief. God didn't come along, make a world, whatever, it's complicated and you're in it. If he made an atom, there's a reason for it. There is a reason for every single thing he did. And it's got a purpose and it's got a function. We said it's important. Don't forget this. We always can't forget the fact we have done the Shemoneh Esrei, okay? And we got to cash in. We said a beautiful thing. I think about it personally a tremendous amount. And I hope, again, if you do Chazara over, we say like this at the end of the second bracha when we talk about Techias Amesim. We said amazing things that he does. He's got, he is mamish, so busy it would seem. Mashif Ruchma Regeshem, he's sending all the rain, every drop, has to know where it's going to go. Machal Kel Chaim B'Chesed, every bird has all of its worms, its food, everything it's going to get, right? The raven doesn't feed its young, so Hashem sends worms that it can eat. Machai Meisim B'Rachamim Rabim, he's going to resurrect the dead after he judges them, each according to a judgment process. So Mecha Nofilim, he's going to lift up those people who have fallen in spiritual and in physical ways. Rofei Cholim, all the concept of medicine. He's on top of everything. He's creating the disease. He's creating the cure. Matir Asarim, he's freeing those who are bound. All kinds of emancipation. Physical, mental, spiritual. Kamim Nosol Hashanei Ofar, those who are dead. He's weighing up how much additional emunah they need to be able to afford the Techias HaMesim experience. Micha Mocha Bal Gavurus, who can do all this stuff? If you gave this to an angel, how many phone calls would he need? He'd be like, you know, with those 17 phones. Just a minute, I got a text coming in from Asia. I don't have time. Because if he was just in charge of medicine, all the people that are sick in the world, he wouldn't have a time. Umidoy Melach, who does it as easily? Like a breath, like an exhalation. That's how easy it is. But listen to this. Melech, he's a king, Memis, who causes death. Chaye, and he resurrects. Matzmich Yeshua. He's giving the concept of salvation to sprout. The reason he causes life, the reason he causes death is only for redemption. Right from the get-go, I'm only bearing you so that when you die, you can be resurrected for the Geula. The whole thing has the concept of purpose right at the beginning. He's not doing anything and working it out as he goes. You know, he'll just give this a shot and see what happens. Not at all. He's got a final plan from the very beginning. This links Bereshis with Shabbos. The reason I'm going into this is for this concept. That's what we're saying here. That's why we're linking the first day of creation with the last day of creation. So far, so good. Now, the Zohar Chadosh brings Rabbi Yitzchak that says when all the works of creation were finished, he made everything, the sun and the sea and everything and all the animals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them a bracha, and then he prepared them for the function in the world that they have and commanded each one not to change its function. The sun has to shine. The sea has to have waves. That's your job. I know you may feel as if at certain stages of your life experience, you'd rather not do that. I'm not interested. You've got to keep it going. Keep static on this. That's correct. You don't find a lion saying, I'm completely sick and tired. I want to be vegetarian for a week. You know, and he says he doesn't do that. He functions. God also said that each and every one of these things should produce offspring befitting it for then and forever. That's why it says, which God created to do, la'asais. What is meant to do? To produce things similar to them to keep the system going. Kodesh Baruch Hu created every animal for a particular function and he wants more animals like that. The job of an animal is to exist and breed because it's a job they've got to do. We finished Varachulu because we've talked about the word lasos a lot. The next bit is common to so many tefillahs, Yontef, Musaf, yeah. This we see loads of places. Once we learn what we're saying here, this is global now. This we don't have to do this again. So after Kedushas HaYom that we've just talked about in Vayechulu, we now recite a paragraph which is common to every Amidah of Shabbos, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu. Why do we now refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu on Yud-Kei Vav-Kei? Our God and our God of our forefathers, Dafka Elokeinu. What's going on? Why? While on Shabbos, which was a universal thing of creation, it was given only to the Jewish people and not to the nations of the world. Indeed, the Gemara Sanhedrin, for anyone that's interested, to write it down, 58b, says that a non-Jew who observes Shabbos, what do we do with him? A non-Jew comes up and says, I love the idea of Shabbos. We kill him because we say, Eis Hil Olam. It's a sign between you and me forever, and anyone that abrogates that breaks the covenant. So if a Gentile says, listen, Shabbos is beautiful, man. Seventh-day Adventists. Keep the Sabbath. They don't fly on the Sabbath. But if they manage to keep Shabbos lishma, got to kill them. It's not your Shabbos. A ger who is going through the gerus procedure and obviously lives like an Orthodox Jew, you know, in order to be able to get to the point. What happens on Shabbos? They should turn on a light. Flip, that's it. Turn on a light on and off at some stage. Why? Because they're not yet Jewish. They're going through the motions. They're going to shul. They're mamish eating. Singing zmiras. The whole thing. They're ready to go. They're basically ready for mikvah next week. Next week, they're going to be Jewish. This week, turn on off and off the light.
Yeah, I think I saw one and he could still drive.
Let him smoke a cigarette. I'm not saying you should smoke, but for that, smoke a cigarette. Do it. You've got to do it because you're not yet Jewish.
But these Seventh-day Adventists, they don't know how to keep Shabbos anyway. That's
true. But the point, I mean, you know, a lot of them, they won't fly, they won't drive, you know, it's Saturday, you know. So it's a very interesting concept. Hashem desires our rest only because we're Jews. You see, because of who we're descended from, because of who we are, and the
people... Hashem wanted to give us a gift. Have a wonderful gift under
treasure chest, that's right. Before the Torah was even given, he keeps bursting. Yeah. He's like, I can't wait. There's something I've got to give you. What? I've got to give you Shabbos. What's that? You're going to love it. Before, at My River, we gave us Shabbos. But why did he want to give us Shabbos? Because of who we were. This is a gift for us. You've worked hard. I want to give you a special treasure. What's the treasure? It's called Shabbos. It's because of who we merited Shabbos. It's an opportunity to observe it. Therefore, we invoke not only our God, but the God of our forefathers. Because the only reason you got Shabbos was because of having to take the Yaakov and all the Yidden Mitzvah. If it wasn't for their Mesiris Nefesh, you wouldn't have got it. It was a gift based upon fantastic behavior of people that came before you. Because of Rochel, because of Leah, because of Sarah. Bill and Zilpah, these unbelievable people, they behaved in a way that Shem said, you know what, I like that. I like that. I'm gonna make you a special people. Now, you can't just come on the scene and say, God gave me Shabbos. He gave Mordechai. No, Mordechai is an outcome of thousands and thousands of generations. Who earned it? So, Elokeinu Elokei Avoseinu, excuse me. He's our God. We're keeping Shabbos for him, right? But only because he's the God of our forefathers can I approach him like this through Shabbos. If they weren't there to pave the way for me to earn this, I would never have this. Does that not make sense?
Is there a reason why that's not the first paragraph
here? No, this is common. Vayechulu the first. You mean why isn't it Atakidashto? Put this at the beginning. We've got to mention what we're doing first. Okay. Atakidashto, Esom Shavi, the concept is God has imbued this concept. This is all from him. Vayechulu Hashemayim, he did it for a purpose. And he's actively doing it. I'm now able to have a relationship with him because of it. I can't say that relationship is in my merit. Certainly not alone. I have to mention the fact I've got to this exalted stage is only because of a human history, which has got me to this developmental period where I can actually understand the concept of Shabbos at all.
I understand that. You're saying the reason why this is put in is because the people merited because of their forefathers. Just a thought, maybe that would be an introduction.
It's like this. You can't know what... I tell you, to answer your question, I'd say, why don't we dance with the Sefer Torah on Shavuos?
That would be the same question, yeah.
It's the same question, isn't it? You should do that first. Yet we wait months for Simchas Torah. The answer is like this. Let me try to give you an answer. It's the same idea, except much the same idea. It's like this. There's a story that was given over to the answers. I could just tell you the story. I could give you my own answer. Probably better to give you the story because it's a better answer. The story's like this. It's a very famous story that a lot of people know about, but I'll repeat it anyway. There was once a great king who had a daughter that he wanted to marry off. And he asked all the best suitors, all the best printers in town, you want to come for my shidduch? Got a shidduch. Ooh, they came over. And this great king wouldn't allow anyone to see the girl. You can't look at my daughter, will you? Prost, looking at my daughter. Do you want her or not? What would you think? Whoa. What would you think? She come over, you're a prince, you're coming over to for a shidduch. And he says, look, you know, trust me. So, right, she looks like the back end of a bus. No wonder he won't let us see her. No wonder he won't let us see her. So all the princes come and go, and they say, forget it, I do this for we can play a game of soldiers. Testing them. So one prince says, okay, I trust you. You're a great king. If you think it's a good idea, I'll go through with it. Ooh. And then, when the marriage comes along, he looks at her. She's stunning. So why was he hiding her? She must be as slow as an ant on a snail. Something's up with her. She may look good, but she's probably about as dim-witted as, you know, not every bulb, you know, is lit up on that one. There's something wrong, clearly. Something's dodgy, right? Then, about 6 months later, he can't believe his luck. Not only is she lovely, she's extremely intelligent, very good midas, wonderfully behaved, an incredible wife. Comes along and he hugs his father-in-law. I gotta say, I didn't trust you. No, I got the best woman in the world. Because I told you. Shavuos, you get the Torah, you have no idea what it is. You get this scroll with words in. Then you sit and learn it for half a year. This thing's unbelievable. Now I can dance with it. You can't appreciate something's value until you've learnt what it really is. Now that I know the value of what Shabbos is, it's time for me to put in some appreciation. Does that answer your question? Yeah, you're comfortable with that. Really, all right. It's a good question.
Yeah.
Deserves. We had to take time out. It's a good question. It's a bell moment. Is there a rules here? Excuse me. You need to ring the bell. What do you think this is? You know, breaking the rules. It's a bell moment. Okay.
I've been off for a few weeks.
So, okay, fine. It's been a month off. Thank you. Yeah, a bit of, you know, it's Tanis Bahav. I'm not, you know. Okay. Now, okay, let's carry on. One of the things about this paragraph, this concept of Menuchas HaShabbos, we talk about the special kind of Menucha we have. What is the Menucha of Shabbos? Ritzivim L'choseinu. May you be pleased with our rest. What's the rest? The first being, basic rest is satiation from externally creative activities. Satiation from work. I don't like the term work, because when you say work, people think it's sitting behind a desk and doing accounts. That's not the work we're refraining from. We're refraining from externally creative activity. Many commentators explain this refers specifically to the pleasure you receive from the rest itself. Posha, sitting down and putting your feet up after a hard, is pleasurable. That is a form of menucha. So there's a certain pleasure associated with rest from a hard activity. Rabbi Yehuda ben Yekar says, it's specifically talking to the idea that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is like a chosen, he's like a groom, and Klal Yisrael is like a kala, is like a bride. And we ask that the bride, all of Israel, find her rest, her menucha, her satisfaction, and security with her groom throughout the Shabbos. And that the groom is happy with the bride. And that essence of that pleasure is the real pleasure of Shabbos. It's when a husband and a wife genuinely feel comfortable and secure with each other. There's a certain strength among the numbers of what that means. And that's pleasure. Think about how awesome it is to be a member of a people who, without a word of a lie and without a shadow of a doubt, genuinely approach the creator of the universe as their spouse. That's you, that is. Do you know what an unbelievable honor that is? The Christians never even dare say such a thing. Muslims wouldn't say it. The Hare Krishnas wouldn't cross their lips. The Buddhists don't even believe in it. God isn't important in the concept. It's just them getting out of a cycle of problems. We're the only people that believe we're in a marriage relationship with the creator of the universe, and Shabbos is when we spend time with him. Who would think like that? Only us.
I think like that even more because I don't have my wife.
Okay, but fuck,
when Shabbat comes,
don't get confused as to the human concept.
No.
What we're talking about, why we say a marriage, is because it's the highest form of human relationship that one can develop. The highest form of human relationship that a human can develop, therefore, is between man or woman and his or her creator. The highest forging of a relationship you can make is what we call a marriage. We are married to God in the fact that we have the highest form of human relationship which has been developed. We've been developed to that stage.
We get kind of married to him every day when we put the
tefillin. We reaffirm our vows daily. That enough Yosef says that despite the fact the rest on Shabbos is passive, we daven that Hashem's desire for us, Ratzavim and Achaseinu, may be pleased with our rest. May you have an active response to it. May you desire our passivity. What are we really, really doing on Shabbos? We're putting down our kli avodah. We're putting down our work tools. Putting down your hammer, your spanner, whatever it is. Putting your feet up and keeping Shabbos. So what you're really doing, essentially, is something passive. You are told not to do the malachas. Does that make sense? Right? That's really the essence of Shabbos, the 39 malachas, right? He should actively desire the fact that we're passively behaving. Ritzeva menucha seinu. May you actively desire our passive manucha. Do you see what I'm saying? We're asking, even though we're doing something passive, can we make this active? I added it into the Devar Torah for Lech Lecha. There's a beautiful concept. Avraham Avinu was lying on a bed, and a Kodesh Baruch Hu came up, and he wanted to do the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, visiting the sick. Hashem does the mitzvahs, and he's teaching us how to do mitzvahs. So he turns up, and he wants to say, how you doing? You know, bowl of grapes, whatever it is. There you go, like a little to a card from the gift shop. What did Avraham Avinu do? He saw three Arabs. Arabs! Arabs, Dafka, the lowliest nation. And he says, just a minute, God. Yeah, I'll be right back. I'm just going to go do a mitzvah. Now, everyone always understands this to mean we're literally letting God, you know, God's like looking at his watch as it work off. I came all the way from heaven here to go meet. Do you know what I mean? And he keeps it. He's sitting on the chair. Well, I'm reviewing this, and I'll be back in a minute. Not at all. Not at all. When he got up to do the mitzvah of achnasas orachim, of hospitality to guests, which is a great mitzvah, and we learn out from that that achnasas orachim is greater than receiving the shechina, because it, what does that mean? If you're lying in bed receiving God's visitation, are you active or passive?
Active.
Passive! You're lying in bed!
Yeah, but you...
What do you mean, yeah? What do you mean, yeah? You got that wrong, okay? Just accepting. I got that, yeah, actually, they're lying in bed. When is a person passive? When they're sleeping. He was in bed. He's passive. You don't get more passive than that. God's active. He turns up. He's doing the mitzvah. You passive, okay? There's no argument about that. Oh, he's active. No, come on. You can't work wangly way of that, you know? So what did he want to do? He says, I don't want to be a passive member of the relationship. I want to actively bring you in my life. Let me get up and do a mitzvah, which is a very active mitzvah. He jumped up out of bed 3 days after his circumcision at the age of 99 on a boiling hot day and started cooking up a storm for Arabs. Big difference here. Where else do we see someone doing incredible hospitality in a difficult circumstance?
Lot.
I love it. Lot. Lottie's nephew also did hospitality. When did he do that? To the very same Malachim, I'd like to point out. They turned around from Avinu's house, went down to Sodom, and then they walked into the set. Would like to stay the night. Up comes Lot and says, Rabosai, come on in. What did they look like in Sodom?
Arabs, they had the same dust on the feet,
Because lots of
they look like angels. They with their wings out. This is Michael and Gavriel. No. Big Malachim were there. They stood there, two massive angels. And he's like, guys, you've got to come inside. You can't stay out here at night. It's like Bench Hill. You can go down Hume and just hang out in the square. You've got to come inside. It's dangerous. They're like, no. We'll sleep right out here. Like, no, you're crazy. You've got to come in. You can't stay here. You'll get killed. He goes, no, we'll be fine. No, he pressured them. Imamish pressured them. You are coming to stay with me. When Light wanted to do Hachnasas Ochen to strangers, he didn't do so if they look choshev. When you get the greatest tzaddik maybe who's ever lived, Avraham Avinu, he was willing to jump out of his hospital bed to do Hachnasas Ochen to Arabs. That's better. You willing to do chesed to an Arab when you're sick? That's a chesed gomor. You willing to do chesed to malachim? Okay, it's nice. But they look very choshev. To them, I'll go out of my way. Couple of Arabs sitting in the street corner.
So what's that teaching us?
That Avraham Avinu's chesed is greater and that you should do chesed
to everybody.
You shouldn't look and say, I'll only do chesed to choshev people. So we should, the point is, let's not lose sight of the point, Rabbi Sai.
Yeah.
Avraham Avinu became active. He said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, rather than you actively visiting me as a passive subordinate, I wish to be as active in my role with you. I want to get up and I want to do something. This is the concept here. Even though we have to be passive for Shabbos, we don't like it. Because you want to be active. That's our role. So we're saying, may we generate active response from you by what we're doing. Even though really we're being passive, truthfully, I wish to be active in this case. So how might I be active? By davening like this. I'm actively saying, I want you to be happy with me even though I have to put my stuff down. It's as if I picked it up in order to create something for you. Maybe like I did that even though I can't do it. Because you're telling me you want me to put it down. I'll put it down. I don't like it. Because you know what? I like to be active. I want to be active. So please, Ritovim Nechaseinu, may you active, may it be as if I did something active. That's the Rekach that says that. And then Af Yosef. Amazing. I want to do stuff as if, I can't cook for you. I can't do anything. A wife, she can't cook for her husband on Saturday. I can't do it. Let it be as if I cook for you. Maybe, the reason I'm not cooking is to make you happy, but that's a passive act. I don't like it. I prefer to be active. I prefer that I'm generating the love for you. I prefer that you love me because of something active that I'm doing rather than something passive that I'm not doing. Do you know what I'm saying? Like if a woman nudges her husband the whole time with nagging, then she stops nagging and he loves her because she stops nagging, that's different than when she prepares me a delicious meal. One love is coming out from at least she's not giving me a headache. Another love is she's doing something amazing for me. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're saying to Hashem, we want to be in a loving relationship with you where you love us because of something we are doing, not of something we're not.
Studying Torah on Shabbat, then an active or a passive?
It's active, but it's not one of the lamedes melachos because it's not externally creative. Eating is not externally creative, but definitely creative because it's internal. It's only externally creative activities that are forbidden, not internally creative activities. And spiritual activities are praiseworthy. It's externally. You're correct. Sorry, it's not every. That's correct. Specific externally creative activities are prohibited. We're really nailing it down there. Certain specific external creative activities are prohibited for a certain period of time during the week. That's pretty legal. That's much like a legal.
39 of them.
It's like
I'm trying to ask you is when Avram
just at the end, was it?
Got up.
Yeah.
And he went and did this. No, so he got up and he went and did this out because he wanted to be active and serve God with the kindness, so he was doing a mitzvah.
Yeah.
So isn't on Shabbat, you sat down, you relaxed.
That's why I'm davening to say should be active. You should. That's what I'm saying here.
Avram learned that from Hashem because Hashem was active because Hashem came down.
That's why he got up.
That's why Avram
That's why he got up. So that's it. So he wasn't as if he was putting God on hold. He drew God closer to him by an active act rather than a passive one. That's the point. The Siach Yitzhak says there are many aspects of rest on Shabbos. Speech, action, thought, Indeed, we say in Musaf, those who speak correctly on Shabbos will inherit great glory in Olam Haba, because you were careful about what we spoke about on Shabbos. Business, this Shabbos correct? This Shabbos, not Shabbos talk, right? That's important. That's an important thing. That sphere of thought considers one's work complete and whether one's organized, one's printer inks and stuff like that. Just let it go at Shabbos. Now, there's nothing wrong, truthfully, about thinking about Malach on Shabbos. Halacha, there's nothing wrong with that. But it is certainly praiseworthy to focus upon more Shabbos things. Thinking about it, you can do. But talking about how you're going to prepare for it, you're not allowed to do. So we ask Hashem that even if, let's say, we didn't fulfill the mitzvah to its ultimate perfection, let's say I didn't, please still be desirous of the rest itself. When we say Ritzavim Menachasenu, we say like this, let's say I haven't kept Shabbos perfectly. He's like reading your mind and you're like, I really hope that fabric's still available, Motzei Shabbos. Because I buy that and then I can make some curtains. And you're thinking that on Shabbos, right, at the Suda. Now, you're not breaking Shabbos. Okay, it's not breaking Shabbos, but it's not the best Shabbos you could get. Ritzavim Menachasenu, please, at least I'm sitting around the Shabbos table, I'm eating Shabbos food. May it be as if I'd done a perfect Shabbos for you. May you be desirous of our rest, even though I haven't done a 100% perfect job. That's an interesting concept. Rav Chaim Friedlander adds to that, that true fulfillment of Shabbos can only be achieved when you rest from your various drives and desires and feel fulfilled and sated. That's a very difficult and big avoider. Let's say you've got a big business job on and you're negotiating a large contract and you know it's going to be several weeks before completion, or you're looking to buy a new house and you're worrying about this and the surveyor's coming in. When you sit down and you say, my desire and drive to get the quantity surveyor done and dusted is posh on hold. It just doesn't matter to me. I've rested even from that tither. That is a tremendous element of Shabbos. It's a very difficult thing to do. It's a lifetime's challenge. But every week should get a bit better than last week. He knows you're busy. He knows you've got projects on. He knows it's important. We're not knocking the fact. The point is, it's Shabbos.
And I think it works also for your own health. It returns back because you're not worrying.
The Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says one of the things that God created just before Shabbos was demons. Shin Dalads. Now, the Gemara in Brocha says that if you look at a Shin Dalad's legs, they look like chicken legs. Like chicken legs. Indeed, the Gemara Brocha says if you sprinkle white flour around your bed, they can't see white. In the morning, if you see like chicken legs around, that's because the shindalads are around your bed at night. It's one of the reasons we wash our hands in the morning. Indeed, Solomon was knocked off of his throne by a demon, very famous Gemara, and the demon would always cover his legs. So Solomon said, have you looked at his legs lately? So the demon's legs look a bit like chicken's legs. Now chicken's legs, if you look at chicken's legs, they're very unusual. They're all fluffy bird feathers, but then they're like these kind of like sticks, like knobbly sticks, like dinosaur legs kind of thing, with three... Kodesh Baruch Hu created demons. What does that mean? He didn't finish their legs. It's famous. He didn't finish their legs. Why? He dropped it for Shabbos. It's busy. Shabbos. Muksa. He didn't finish it. So when you see a chicken with their legs walking around like that, it's not just that they don't get their feathers dirty. Eagles have feathers all the way down and they go in dirty nests and stuff like that. He dropped it. It's Shabbos. I'm busy. I've got to drop it. Sometimes something comes up where he dropped. A Kodesh Baruch Hu dropped making the chicken's leg. So the demons which he made have like chicken's legs because he didn't finish their legs. We know from Sefer Yetzirah, Kodesh Baruch Hu makes things inside out. He made the internal organs and then the external part of the body afterwards. That's why Isha, woman that was created, he made her internal organs first. One of the reasons he cast a deep slumber over Adam while he did that, says the Zohar Kodesh, that he shouldn't see her intestines being formed. It's extremely unattractive. And he wanted to make her beautiful. So if he'd have seen that happen, she'd be looked disgusting. I mean, the most beautiful person in the world, if you see their viscera on the outside of their body with like kishkas going around, it's like, ah, it's like, it's not very nice. It's strange, but the truth is we all want, Baruch Hashem, fully functioning viscera. We all want good kishkas, right? But we just don't want to see them because it's a disgusting thing. So when a Kodesh Baruch Hu made Isha, he made it inside out. So he made a kishkas first. He didn't want Adam Rishon to see that. So it's inside out. So the inside, the skeleton, the design is, that's how he does. He flushes out chickens. He didn't finish it. Shabbos drops everything. What to teach us? If I was willing to drop things in creation, Kosher, can you? You're busy with the house. So put down the bricks. I put down all of creation. I dropped all my actions to teach you. That's how you got to do it. I was busy on Shabbos too. I've got news for you. Double workload. Everything stops for Shabbos. When you stop, it's not just stopping it. Okay, I put down the brick. But deep down, man, do I want to pick up that brick. I've got four more bricks. I want to make the wall. I want to finish it. Even the tiver to finish it, I'm putting down. You know what? I don't even want to finish it. It's Shabbos. Mama Shmukza, it's Shabbos. I don't even... You know what? Hashem doesn't want me to finish it now. Therefore, I've dropped the tiver. I've dropped the tiver. I'm going to finish one thing and then I'm going to stop. We're already quite way through this. One more thing. I've got to do... Oh, you asked about Sephardim. Something about the Yemenites. They're the Temanim. The Temanim and Sephardim add in a word. And we don't have that word. I always get David Menashe always turns around to me and says, well, what about the extra words? There's some extra words in Nusach's Edus and Misrach, specifically the Yemenite. The Rambam's version of this tefillah includes the word no after the word ritzei. Ritzei no for Melech Hoseinu. Yeah. Please. The Tur says no, it's not in there. And the Tur was Sephardi. And the Ashkenazi, Tur said no. The Ashkenazim do not say no.
Yeah.
We do not say no. It's not in here. But in some Yemenites, they say no. What's going on? Now, according to the explanation, that we are asking Hashem to accept our rest despite its imperfection. I was thinking about making the wall. The word please is very important. If you want to say, I'm really not keeping Shabbos in my mind very well, but I'd like you to pretend as if it was because I want to be in a good relationship with you. That needs a no. That needs a please. Please desire my Shabbos, even though I may not be doing 100% on it. That makes perfect sense, right? Do you get that? You've got to say please to that. If you're saying, I'm not keeping Shabbos perfectly, but I'd like you to keep it as if I was, you need a please in there. So it's only too right to have a no in there, right? Does that not make sense?
Yeah.
So how come Ashkenazim don't have it?
What's the
extra no is not crucial if you're asking Hashem for our Shabbos rest to complete its natural effect. According to the Nusach that doesn't put a no in, it's saying that merely being in Shabbos does the job to calm you down. I don't need to ask you. It's natural. Do you hear? Let me do this again. Yeah. I want to build a wall.
Oh,
and I'm still thinking about building a wall while I'm keeping, you know, while I'm eating Charlie. Not, please Hashem, would you mind overlooking that? Because I'm upset. I didn't do a particularly good job there. That's the no sign. If you don't know, you're saying, you know what? Because I put the brick down, Shabbos has this light, this Oregonus, which is going to reveal it. It'll just make me chill out about the wall. I don't need to say no. Please, may you desire our menucha, because the menuchas are now come a Shabbos. It's just a system. It's systematic. It's a flow. It's a flow. Shabbos is real. It does something. You sit in Shabbos and you keep it. It does something to you. So in that case, I don't need to say please about it. I just need to do it. You don't take paracetamol and then say please. It does. You've taken the paracetamol. Do you know what I mean? It works. It's a system. Others will say, if you're saying it only to ask God to forgive the fact that you're not keeping it, then you need a please. That's why there's a different nusach as to whether or not there should be a nor in here. According to the way that we're seeing it, that it's an apology, you need a nor. According to the way we're seeing it, it's going to have an outcome, then please is inappropriate.